It's 6 minutes after 1 o'clock. You're listening to Valley Public Radio, NPR for Central California. I'm Joe Moore, and it's a very special occasion today on our program as we have a very rare treat. Two world-class performers joining us live in the Barman Cheney Performance Studio at our broadcast center in Clovis, California, for a live broadcast not only on FM 89, but also live on our Facebook page, Valley Public Radio. Find it there. We have a team from Texas doing the video here today, and it's all part of a celebration of 30 years of clarinet at Fresno State. I want to welcome to our studio now our guest artist, pianist Wendy Chen, and Mark Nuccio. Can I have you come over here for a second and tell us a little more what brings you to California?
Well, we've been invited here to play a recital tomorrow night at 7:30 at Fresno State University and some other Facebook Live events that are leading up to it in education for the students. And so...
Excellent. And Mark Nuccio is one of the foremost clarinetists in America today, over 15 years with the New York Philharmonic, now in Houston with the Houston Symphony Orchestra, and he's joined by Wendy Chen. Wendy, you are a California native, so welcome home. You now live in Arizona. How did you two first connect?
Thank you for the welcome home. Great being back. Mark and I met at a strings music festival in Steamboat, Colorado, probably nearly 20 years ago. And we played a lot of chamber music together, and we just continued the friendship and relationship.
Great. Well, I want to ask you about Houston a little bit, Mark. I want to ask about some of your influences. I know you studied with the famed clarinetist of the Cleveland Orchestra, Robert Marcellus, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. I want to start with some music. Tell us what we have to open up today.
We're going to play a little piece by that was written by a clarinetist named Bela Kovács. Bela was is a clarinetist in Budapest, and he's been writing some music. And this particular piece is an homage to Johann Strauss, and it's a very short clarinet and piano ditty, I call it. So it's kind of a fun piece that we hope you enjoy.
All right, live here on Valley Public Radio, this great performance, Mark Nuccio and Wendy Chen here on FM 89. Thank you. bravo. Mark Nuccio, clarinet, Wendy Chen, piano, here in our Valley Public Radio Barman Cheney Performance Studio, live on the air and also on Facebook today. A great opportunity to hear these musicians on the radio, but you can hear them in concert tomorrow night at Fresno State, at the Fresno State Concert Hall. Mark is the principal clarinet of the Houston Symphony, and he joins us today. And Mark, if you can come over here for a second, tell us a little more about what brought you to Houston. You were in New York. This is the classical music capital of America. Why move to Houston? I mean, another world-class city, but why make the move?
The opportunities that exist as principal clarinet. I was associate principal clarinet in New York, and I had terrific colleagues, fantastic experiences traveling all over the world. But when the opportunity came to be principal clarinet in Houston and play some of the most important solos in our repertoire, it seemed like a good time to go. And I heard the orchestra, and I was so pleased. So I thought, I'm not getting any younger. So.
Tell us a little more about your background. How did you get on this path that you're on right now, at the pinnacle of your career?
Well, my father was a clarinetist, and so was my mother. And my mother still is a clarinetist. So that escalated to going to college and studying with great teachers. This is my sixth orchestra job. But I was in Pittsburgh prior to being in New York, and then now in Houston, so... That's pretty much it. I teach a lot also.
All excellent orchestras. You studied with, as I mentioned earlier, Robert Marcellus. I remember as a young clarinet student almost 30 years ago, listening to his performance with the Cleveland Orchestra of the Mozart Clarinet Concerto and this being enthralled. What did maybe he impart to you that has stayed with you all these years later?
I think there's a certain musical discipline that he required of his students that was missing in my playing, and there was a kind of a culture at Northwestern with a lot of really great. He had the best studio at the time, so a lot of great musicians, and not just clarinetists, but especially his students, and so you pretty much had to step up your game a little bit, and so yeah, he was definitely requiring of a high level of perfection. So,
at that level, is it? When you're studying with a famed instructor and performing as a student at a very high level, is it the technical things that you gain, or is it something else? Is it what's the most significant thing you try to impart to your students? Is it working on those technical elements, or is it something greater?
Well, it's everybody's different. Everybody has different needs, but I try to make. A priority for the students to understand that we're supposed to sound like the human voice and to play in the style of the composer that you're playing, but do it in a way that's so vocal that it really touches somebody and doesn't just sound like you're pushing buttons down. And sometimes that's a slow process. But I think once people realize that they can remove themselves a little bit from just pushing buttons down and change the airspeed and different sound changes and stuff, it becomes much more listenable, you know, and the audiences really gravitate toward that kind of a moving experience.
How has your career changed since you've come to Houston? Are you doing different sorts of things now that you weren't able to do before in New York?
Well, yeah, I think New York is such a fantastic job, but they play 4 to 5 concerts a week, and it's every single week. Houston also plays 3 concerts a week, but they have fewer of the subscription concerts, and it allows for me to take some weeks that aren't subscription off to do things like this and branch out. And so it has been a more varied experience for me. Getting to play chamber music, getting to play solo works. I play a concerto next week in Colorado Springs. It's just a really nice variety for me.
I want to bring Wendy into the conversation now. As you told us, you worked together for a number of years, ever since that chamber music festival in Colorado. How has your artistry evolved? You're doing this now for this. You have another performance coming up a little later on. Well, tomorrow, of course, in Fresno, but you have other things that you're doing musically beyond California. How has it been to do more of this with Mark now that his schedule's opened up?
Great question. I have been so traditionally trained as a classical pianist with your usual Germanic repertoire of Beethoven, Brahms, and meeting Mark and playing some of this more interesting music for me, in that I spent most of my time in chamber music playing with strings, string trios, quartets, what have you, and I haven't done a lot of work with winds and brass, but in this experience we've played a lot of music that for me is more in the jazz genre, or something a little bit with more flavor and freedom. And to sort of embrace that new style for me is different and fun and interesting. And so we're playing this piece, we'll sample it a little later, that we're playing tomorrow night, the Cape Cod Files, that one of the movements, the first movement, is in honor of Benny Goodman's 100th birthday or something. And so you can just get a sense of it already just by the title, Paquito de Rivera. And I feel that I can pretend to play jazz in some way. So it's fun for me.
Now, Mark, it also has to be interesting, you two working together, in that these are pieces that are not necessarily in the standard repertoire. Maybe the next one we're going to hear is, but something like the piece by Paquito de Rivera, the great Cuban-American saxophonist and clarinetist. This would be challenging for a lot of artists to pull off, not so much the solo piece, but to put it together, the piano and the clarinet. Is that maybe something that you're uniquely positioned to do with this collaboration you've got going on here between the two of you?
Yeah, I think it is, because you learn to be able to work together and adjust to each other's movements, and it's just, it takes a long time to put a piece like the Cape Cod Files together. It's so complex, and so, you know, when you have a relationship with a pianist, you can play this numerous times and learn it together. I can't play this piece with just anybody without having spent at least a week of days to do that. So, and that time is not usually afforded us. So we're feeling very fortunate to be here. The opportunities by the folks at Fresno State has really offered a great experience for us. Yeah.
And Professor Miles Ishigaki, he put all of this together, including the masterclass yesterday, and then this performance today, and also tomorrow night's concert. And his students of the clarinet studio at Fresno State do great work. Has it been fun to connect with them?
Oh, sure. It's always nice to work with students. We had a nice exchange yesterday. They asked very insightful questions. They really listened and seemed to get a lot out of it. And, it's, you know, you always feel like you're paying it forward a little bit. And somebody did it for us, and so I kind of feel the responsibility to do it for others, you know, as we push forward.
I want to ask you about the experience of being in Houston with all that city has gone through, but we'll get that to that in a little bit. Right now, let's move on to some more music. And you have a piece that is sort of a classic for clarinetists. This is Robert Schumann. Tell us about this piece.
Well, Robert Schumann, it's just the fantasy pieces. So they're just lovely, romantic, warm pieces that I think anybody can connect to. And they're short pieces that are very, very free between the two of us. And we never play at the same two times in a row. It's that kind of a piece. So,
Wendy, is that challenging? Is it, how do you communicate that differently on in a live performance with the chemistry between the two of you?
Well, I think that in all my lucky experience to have gotten to play so much chamber music over the years, that I have, especially if you have a friendship, the experience of either anticipating or just knowing to follow the breath and where they might decide to go at any given moment. And it's part of the magic of chamber music that I love.
All right, we're going to hear some of that magic right now. Mark Nuccio, Wendy Chen here on Valley Public Radio, performing a piece by Robert Schumann, the fantasy pieces for clarinet and piano, on Valley Public Radio, live from the Barman Cheney Performance Studio. If you just joined us on Valley Public Radio, that was a piece by Robert Schumann, the first movement of the Fantasy Pieces for Clarinet and Piano. Mark Nuccio and Wendy Chen performing this live on Valley Public Radio today from the Barman Cheney Performance Studio in Clovis, California. We're streaming this live not only on our radio station and kvpr.org, but also thanks to the folks at SkyPack for coming in here today to do this video all the way from Texas. And they're streaming this out on Facebook Live today, so you can find it on our Valley Public Radio Facebook feed and watch it live there. So I encourage you to do that as we continue with our conversation. Mark, the city of Houston's gone through some amazing highs, World Series win earlier this week, but also, of course, the hurricane that hit earlier this year. Were you personally affected? And tell us about the state of the orchestra. How has the response been from the local classical music community?
My situation was unaffected personally, but of course we're all affected a little bit, we have friends and close connections with somebody or many people, and my wife and I actually helped, you know, ripping out walls of people's houses and floors, and you know, so we were all a part of, I think, the community grew. I mean, it's a sad thing. I have friends that are in the middle part of their lives starting over again, and it's never easy. But I think people are bouncing back. It's going to take time. And the orchestra is affected a little bit, but they donated 3 or 4 weeks of concerts to the community. Some of that is at a loss financially, and so there's a little bit of a catch-up to do, and we're hoping that some people realize that you know, it would be helpful that sustained by donations and stuff mostly, and so we have to keep our audiences up or get them up more. And parking is an issue still downtown because a lot of the parking lots were flooded, and so but music goes on, and it's a great arts community in Houston. So the opera and the ballet are out until May out of their buildings, so they're in convention center, and so it's not a quick repair, but the people have learned, they're just very, very kind people there anyway, but they've really bonded together and helping each other, and can be a good experience for everyone.
What was the reaction like from the patrons of the orchestra? Did having those concerts help bring people together and bring a sense of normalcy back to the city in some way?
Yeah, I think music has a way of being a form of therapy a little bit. You know, Rice University were very kind in donating their concert hall to us. That space is already very utilized by their orchestra and other performances, so they cleared everything out. And so it gave us a chance to play in a new environment. And so I think, you know, it kept our patrons still interested in music, and yes, it helped them to kind of have a moment away from these times where you're just thinking about how you don't have a place to go home to.
So I want to ask you about your instrument, and it's interesting because you represent and play Buffet clarinets, probably the most famous maker of clarinets that many will know of. You actually got to help consult and design one of Buffet's newest instruments. That in itself is something of a cultural milestone, is it not?
Yeah. Well, yes. Five of my colleagues around the country and me were instrumental in designing an instrument called the Tradition, which is the first time the French people have allowed Americans to have a part in the design. So we're quite proud of it. It's, I think, doing, you know, it's starting to sell quite well, and you know, it takes a while for this stuff to connect, but yeah, it's nice to feel like you're making a difference and paying something, you know, forward for the next generation, and hopefully I'll get to use it for a while.
Definitely. Now, you were talking about with that last piece how you don't play it the same way twice. That's something I often hear jazz musicians talk about when they talk about their music. Influence of jazz in some of your works, this next one which we're about to hear, is that a challenge for a classically trained player like yourself, or how do you approach a music like that?
Well, of course, our job is to recreate something that's already been written, and then you have to kind of decide within the time period that the piece was written and the style how far out of the box you can go. And with this, you can go out, I think, a little further. I've had some jazz experience having been in a Dixieland band and stuff. So I've played a lot of jazz, but not as much. I don't call myself a jazz player at all. The notes are all written. We do have to coordinate certain milestones within the music so that we're together. But I think there's a, room for some creativity, quite a bit of creativity that also varies. My basic feeling about performance is if it's the exact same performance every time, it's not very interesting to the listener anyway. So I try to be a little bit different anyway, but maybe even more in this music.
Wendy, how challenging is this piece for you? We kind of touched on it a little bit in our last question, but when it comes to doing a piece like this, how do you prepare? And also, given that you're based in Arizona, you're based in Texas, it's not like you're rehearsing all the time. How is it challenging, especially with a piece like this, to learn it alone?
No, I didn't approach it any differently than I would Beethoven chamber music or otherwise. The trick is to be very organized and time manage well and learn your part as if the other part is also there with you at all times, and listening a lot, getting to know the music. Of course, the Cape Cod Files is so new for me in that it's not a style that I do normally, but listening to it a lot and then knowing Mark and his organization, we already scheduled rehearsals way early in the summer before any of our fall events. And I learned my notes, but I think the trickiest part would be the rhythm. That's sort of new and different for me. It's a little bit off, not quite, the 8-bar phrase and the general. So that was a challenge, but I'm embracing it and just sort of, going for it.
Now, when we were relaxing in the green room right before we went on air, you said something that was interesting I want to share with our audience, Mark. You said that many people wouldn't play this piece because just going into a city and meeting up with a pianist you've never worked with before, that would not work with this particular work. What did you mean by that? And explain.
Well, of course, there are many great pianists, and each of them that are great could perform the piece if we had the time to put it together. But usually when you come to a place like this, you're there for like 3 days, and that's not enough time to digest the piece and learn it together. In this case, like Wendy said, she was actually playing the Rhapsody in Blue this summer, and I was in the orchestra, it's the prominent part for the orchestra. So it was kind of, she was the soloist, and that's what she does most of the time. But that has a jazz influence, of course, too. So, but then we rehearsed there, and then we've performed it a couple weeks ago, and we're just trying to play it as many times as possible with the idea that at some point maybe we'll be able to record it. But you have to play it a lot of times before you start putting it on there, because that one lasts forever.
We can hear the whole piece tomorrow night at the Fresno State Concert Hall. Mark Nuccio and Wendy Chen in concert as they're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Fresno State Clarinet Studio. Dr. Miles Ishigaki putting this together and a great set of events and making all this broadcast today possible. So we thank him and Fresno State and Arts and Humanities and everyone over there who helped make this go. Again, tell us about this piece we're about to hear for maybe listeners who just joined us and don't know what's going on.
Well, and this is a piece that has four different movements. The first one is a piece called Benny at 100. It was written in 2008 for a music festival in Cape Cod, so therefore they called it the Cape Cod Files. It was written for John Manassi, who's a clarinetist in New York City, a friend of mine. It's just has this kind of homage to Benny and the kind of style of that he played in, and so it's kind of written out jazz that's has a little bit of freedom and very fun, very complex, and hope you would enjoy it. I think it ends with a nice you'll like the ending.
We'll look forward to hearing that. In fact, it's going to happen right now. Mark Nuccio, Wendy Chen, The Cape Cod Files by Paquito de Rivera, the composer and a great clarinetist in his own right. And you're hearing it live from the Barman Cheney Performance Studio here at Valley Public Radio. Let's listen. Thank you. Mark Nuccio, clarinet, Wendy Chin, piano, performing live in the Barman Cheney Performance Studio today at Valley Public Radio. The first movement from Paquito de Rivera's Cape Cod Files. You can hear them in concert tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. at the Fresno State Concert Hall. It's all part of the 30th anniversary of the Fresno State Clarinet Studio, and Dr. Miles Ishigaki, we want to thank him and the whole team from SkyPack today, our other assistants from Fresno State who volunteered their time to be here today, and of course our guest artists, Wendy Chin, Mark Nuccio. Thank you so much for being here today. It was our pleasure, and remember, if you missed this, go check out our Facebook page and make sure you go to the concert tomorrow. It should be a lot of fun. Thank you both so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us. Thank you.
You're listening to Valley Public Radio. Now back to Don Fisher and Clearly Classical.